I want to thank everybody for coming out and tuning in today. What the Lord laid on my heart, I'm going to do several weeks on the topic of righteousness. Righteousness. And, you know, righteousness is something that helps us to be really to have no guilt or shame, you know, when we especially come in the presence of God, but also when we interact with other people, if we understand who we really are. And to me, what's really assisted me in my walk with God is the idea of revelation knowledge, because revelation knowledge is the key to walking in the power and authority that God has given us. You know, there's a difference between revelation knowledge and then sense knowledge, okay? Because it's in our mind. Sometimes we can mentally assent or sometimes assimilate information, and we know the information, but yet that information doesn't really give us the power, because it's really not ours yet. We don't own it. You know what I'm saying? And when we really understand, you know, what God's word is about, then we own it. And then we can start to walk in a different level of authority. See, if we really don't know who we are, we will never be who we are supposed to become. And many Christians, I think, fall short many times when it comes to living up to their potential. And we need to start seeing things with the eye of faith. How important it is to see through the eye of faith, because to me, living in victory is just a revelation away. And that's my goal. I really think every believer should be able to live and walk in victory. I know that sometimes we're going to go through some things, you know, but nevertheless, we should not live a life of defeat where things we just think aren't going our way and that we're never going to be able to overcome. Because Jesus Christ came not just to get us to heaven, which is important, that's the most important thing, is to spend eternal life with Him. But this life we live here, you know, is something that we need to understand how we can overcome and be able to walk in success. Okay, we're going to look at Romans first, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I'm going to read it from two different translations, the Amplified first, and then I'll read it from the New American Standard. Okay, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, which is the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation, for deliverance from eternal death, to everyone who believes with a personal trust and confident surrender and firm reliance, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith, that arouses to more faith, as it is written, a man who through faith is just and upright and shall live by that faith." Okay, now the New American Standard, a little briefer. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, I pray for a special stirring in our hearts, Lord, that we know that there's more, and we want more. Lord, we know that you've made a plan for each and every one of our lives, and Lord, we should walk in that plan. And Lord, help us to be able to walk in the power that you supply for each of our lives. Lord, I thank you for that stirring right now. Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to, you know, the word righteousness is one of those words that sometimes, you know, we have different maybe thinking about. It's one of those Christianese terms, you know, just like justification or sanctification. You know, there's some words that we use in Christianity that sometimes may not connect, you know, in our mind and our heart if we don't really totally understand what they mean. So we're going to break that down a little bit today to try to, you know, grasp a little better understanding. You know, I thought of something this morning. You know, you've ever probably been to the big malls, you know, bigger than our square, you know, those big malls. And, you know, you go up there and then you, have you ever been lost? You know, I mean, maybe not know where you're at in the mall. I mean, then you find that sign that says, "You are here," right? You are here. Well, praise God, I'm here. Well, then you let off a little bit and you go out and try to find what you got, and all of a sudden you come back and you are here again, right? You know, and sometimes that's the way our Christian walk is. You know, sometimes we, you know, walk in circles, and maybe we never get, you know, to the destination that we really want to. It's kind of the one step forward, two steps back. You know, things go on in our life, and, you know, sometimes people that are around us don't cooperate. Have you ever been around people that just don't cooperate sometimes? Some of you may be elbowing each other right now. It happens. You know? But, you know, the word righteousness, and we're going to look at justification. I'll just throw that out a little bit now. Justification is a legal judicial act where God says, because of the price that Christ paid, is that we are saved. We have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we got to receive it, but it's a legal thing. And then we're going to go into righteousness now. And righteousness is something, it's both a legal thing and an experience thing. Because legally, when we're born again and become a Christian, you know, we are righteous. And, you know, we're not the other kind of righteous. We're going to look at that, self-righteousness. But see, righteousness is a quality of state of being right, or an old English term was right wiseness. To me, it's a revelation that we understand, you know, we're going to look at the idea of it's a robe of righteousness God gives us. And see, it's kind of like, I don't want to get too weird of, like in space, sci-fi, ships have a force field right around them. It's surrounded them. And really, that's what our righteousness is, you know, because of what Jesus Christ did and because of the blood of Jesus. So that when the devil looks at us, he sees a Christian, he sees that righteousness that's coming out from us because of what Jesus has done in us. And what the problem is we don't see ourselves like that. Sometimes we see ourselves in a different way, and we got to turn that around. Now, here it said, now what I like from that Amplified, and you, like I said, you should read from a couple different translations. Amplified's a good one to go to every now and then, and it's on many of the Bible apps. But here it said, you know, the righteous that is from faith, and then it grows with faith. So it's something that we grow in the understanding. You know, faith is something that we have to believe without seeing. And we get that faith. It's not based on just blind luck, by guess or by golly. It's based on the Word of God. And there has to come a time in each and every Christian's life where they say, I believe what God's Word says more than what I feel. And when we get to that place, I don't want to brag on you or nothing, but you're going to be invincible. When you start believing what God says instead of what your head says or what you feel, you know, you're going to be a handful to the devil. I guarantee you that. Because he doesn't want people to understand these things. He wants us to stay stupid. So the first point is righteous by faith. Now, a lot of people struggle with this. They kind of think you're cocky or bragging. I don't go around telling people I'm righteous. You know, I mean, that's not something, you know, that's not my lead with, you know. Hey, I'm righteous. How you doing today? No. That's not how it rolls, you know. But the idea that it's something that we have inside of us, it develops a kind of a mindset. Because there's two kinds of righteousness, really, in the world. There's the first one, you know, that we know about, self-righteous. We've all been around self-righteous people. And if we all want to be honest, we've probably been a self-righteous person from time to time, you know, because of whatever's going on. But see, what we want to see here is that righteousness comes through Christ, and it's from and through. See, it comes from Christ. It comes from Him. And we get it when we receive Him into our heart. And then through Him, we start to live, you know, that life of righteousness. Now, have you ever attended a function and found that you were immensely underdressed? You know, I'm part hillbilly, so I'm usually underdressed where I go. You know, I mean, clothes don't impress me. I purposely try not to match. Although we're on live stream now, I try to make sure, you know, things kind of go together. But I really thrive on wearing things that don't match each other. I just like that. I like to be different. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's just me. Now, since I got married, you know, and, you know, my wife's tried to, you know, rebrand me or whatever they do, you know, change me. But, I like to do that every now and then. I get a kick out of kids when they dress themselves. You can kind of tell when, you know, mom just let them go. You let them have fun. You know, they can be who they want to be. But see, a lot of times when you go to functions and you are terribly underdressed, maybe you didn't get the memo or the card what to wear, but you know, you kind of feel like you stick out like a sore thumb. I mean, with the way I dress sometimes, I do stick out sometimes. Or sometimes right before you go in there, you spill your coffee all over your shirt, you know what I mean? Or you get something on yourself. I remember when Jake and I went to Peru there years ago, I knew I wasn't gonna probably get any Iowa beef for a while, so we went in the airport and I had a big hamburger right before I left. Well, I loaded that thing up with ketchup and mustard and I pulled that thing up and boom, right all over me. And that was before I knew you're supposed to pack an extra shirt in your carry-on, you know what I'm saying? So I wore that for like, I don't know how many hours, a day and a half or 2 days till I finally got to a place where I could actually change shirts. But I mean, yellow all over your shirt, it clashed. I mean, so it just, I knew everybody was looking at me. You just kind of felt that. And see, that's what we feel like sometimes if we don't have what I believe is the righteousness of God. You know, when we go into a place, you can feel like that, like everybody's just looking at you. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when I counsel people, you know, it's just the idea that sometimes, you know, we just feel like we're not good enough. There's that too, aren't they, in our life? We just feel like we're not good enough. We feel inferior. You know, we feel insecure, you know, especially when we get around other people. And, you know, because, you know, maybe we have self-doubt. You know, all these things come in, but if we ever understand this revelation of righteousness, you won't have to feel like that again. Never. Never feel like that again. See, I remember when I first got saved, you know, and I would attend church and, you know, when I went there, I just felt like, you know, that I was so inferior to everybody around there. And these people, they just looked like they had it all together. Later I found out they didn't, but at the time, you know, I was just so afraid that I was going to say something unholy, you know what I mean? Unholy things has come out of my mouth before. I ain't going to lie to you, you know. There has been some unholy things. And, you know, maybe some unholy actions, you know, all these things. So when I know for some people, it's a big step to walk into a church building, you know, because especially if you have some self-doubt or some inferiority, all these things, you know, that are going on. And, you know, what I found out is the fact that, you know, it wasn't the fact that I was underdressed physically, but I was underdressed spiritually. And that was the problem. See, as many of you have heard my testimony over and over, I went to church about a year before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And it didn't matter how late I was out on Saturday, I went to that church. I knew there was something there I needed. I just hadn't received it yet. So I would deal with that stuff. When I walked in there, I was afraid that, you know, somebody was going to, you know, really know what I'm really all about and call me out on it. You know, but I kept going, I kept learning, I kept paying attention. You know, if you pay attention long enough, you might get something, amen? You know, so that's what we got to do. Now, Isaiah 64:6 tells us a little bit about our righteousness, and especially self-righteousness or our righteousness. It says, "For we all have become like one who is unclean," this is amplified, "ceremonially like a leper, and all our righteousness," meaning our best deeds of righteous justice, "is like filthy rags or a polluted garment, and we fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away, far from God's favor, hurrying towards destruction." And see, no matter on our best day, that's what we got. Because, you know, we're not comparing ourselves to each other in this room. Now, if you looked around the room today, I mean, if you're not looking right, you would probably see somebody that you think's better than you. And you might look over and you see somebody that you're better than, you think. So that's carnal thinking. That's not biblical thinking. But that's how we do sometimes. Now, we have some beautiful girls here today in their prom dresses. I was going to have them come up, but I don't want to embarrass them here. But, you know, put them on the World Wide Web. But anyway, you know, what it says here is that our deeds of righteousness are like filthy rags. See, good works are never good enough, but God works are. That's what we have to see. Our good works, no matter how good we can become or think that we have this all together, we're finally getting some of this stuff right, if we put our trust in that, we've taken one step away from God and His righteousness. Because it's His righteousness that needs to live through us. And the problem that we have, it usually stems largely from wrong thinking. And we all have it, so just don't get down on yourself right now. I'm thinking, I'm picking on you. You know that I can read your mail. I mean, it happens. But for right now, we all have wrong thinking, don't we? There's things in our life sometimes, we just don't see it right. I mean, and we might be a victim of just, of the way we was raised, some words that were spoken over us, some things that we believed through a relationship and those negative words. And, you know, it's just tough, all that stuff going around out there. And, you know, and it's so positive and powerful when we finally come to the place that we understand the idea of what it means to be really born again and getting that fresh start, the new life and really what it's all about. See, if we put wrong information in our mind, the wrong information is going to come out. And see, that's why we need to keep putting the Word of God in. And I believe we need to do it on a daily basis. You don't have to read the whole Bible every day, but you need to read a little bit. You need to get it in your heart and in your mind. And, you know, as you're reading, the Holy Ghost may talk to you about something. You just kind of, you know, linger there, stay there a little bit, and, you know, maybe write it down and, you know, look at it later. Maybe check it out from different translations and kind of see what the Holy Spirit wants to tell you, because the Holy Spirit's with you all the way. He's the teacher. He's the one who wants to reveal it to us. And see, as we go around, because when we all start out, we have that sin consciousness, right? Sin consciousness. We come out of the world system, and see, whether you want to, just how you think about it here. Like, we have many different families represented here, okay? And when different families do things a different way, you know, some of you may celebrate Christmas a certain way. You know, you have a tradition, the way that you do it. Then you may have, like, Easter dinner. Maybe you have a certain food that day. See, we all have certain ways that we do things, or like the cops used to call it, a method of operation. We all have ways that we do things. And see, what the problem is that, you know, a lot of times our life is governed by sin consciousness, because we've been raised in the world so long that when a certain thing happens, that we respond to it a certain way, because that's the way I've always responded to that. I've always answered that question that way. But see, what we need to do is that when we get reprogrammed and we start to get the Word of God, well, you might answer that question a little differently. Let's say there's more month than money sometimes. Well, when you have the sin consciousness, you would maybe just start to fret and worry and do all these things and start selling stuff, selling your kids, you know, getting rid of stuff, you know. But the idea is that once you maybe get the revelation knowledge, well, maybe you start to trust instead of freaking out. But that comes by renewing your mind, getting rid of that sin consciousness that's trying to hold us back, because wrong perception will bring deception. And see, when we're deceived, that's where we're in trouble, because when we get deceived, we're going to act that way. We're going to act like a deceived mind, and we're not going to respond the way. And so an unrenewed mind has a tendency to believe the worst, and a renewed mind has a tendency to believe the best. And especially if you're a glass half empty kind of person, you need to get your mind renewed, because your words matter. The things that come out of your mouth matters. You know, it doesn't really matter the fact that maybe things aren't perfect at work, or maybe things aren't perfect at home, but it's what matters is how we respond to that situation, how we're going to approach that problem, what's coming out of our mouth. Are we going to agree with the problem, or are we going to agree with God's word? You know? It's just how it works. This is a practical way it works, and, you know, and if you don't do it, it's never going to work. Simple as that. Unless we do something different, we're going to stay the same. See, we need to really believe what the Bible says and not go by our feelings. Now, feelings are important. I mean, it's fun when you feel like you love somebody. Not so fun when you feel like you hate somebody, though, right? I mean, be honest. I mean, you know, nobody likes that feeling. But feelings kind of move around, don't they? I mean, just a lot of things change. I don't feel that way anymore. See, feelings are an emotional response to a situation. And that can be kind of dangerous from time to time. Because when we respond out of our feelings, we may say something totally wrong. We may hurt somebody around us. Somebody that we love. Even though we don't feel like we love them right now, you know what I'm saying? Because they've irritated us. And we go off on that feeling. And there's been a lot of friendships broken that maybe are unrepaired, or even relationships, because of things that were said. But see, we can turn that around. That's my goal here, is to try to fix some of these things. Because, you know, feelings will lie to you, and they can change at any given moment. And see, when we base our relationship with God based on our past performance, we're never going to turn that corner. And, you know, the idea of our past performance, we got to put that behind us. Right. All our old ways and all our old way of thinking. And I'll be honest, people, I can look you straight in the eye and I can guarantee you this is possible. Because it worked for me.
Amen.
It worked for me.
Thanks.
And I've told my wife, and I've told you this before, you know, when she would want to know old stories about me, you know, I would tell her some of the things. And nobody knows what I've really done other than God, you know. Because I used to sin, and I'm, you know, don't brag about it. This is something I used to do, and I don't do those things anymore. God changed my life. But when she wanted to know certain things, I would kind of tell her a few things. And I kid you not, and I can stand here and look you in the eye, and I'm not lying one bit. It was like I was telling about somebody else. I kid you not, I was telling, it wasn't me no more. That wasn't my story. My story has a new chapter. My story has a new start. And we need to get to that place. Because if not, I remember like when I first started going to that church and, you know, my old story was in my mind and I would start to think about that old story and I start to see myself like that old story, and that's why I felt inferior. That's what I felt like, you know, I couldn't never fit in. And, you know, we as Christians, I mean, I thank God, you know, for the people that he brought around my life, especially starting out. They were very accepting, good people, and they probably knew I wasn't quite right, but yet they loved me anyway. And that's how we need to be. That's how the church needs to be to people. Because, you know, positional and temporal righteousness, I want to throw a little bit of a teaching out here, a little bit about it. You know, we got your positional or temporal righteousness. Okay, when you say the word positional, that's the legal side of our righteousness. It's a contract. Just like we always say when you get married. You know, you get that marriage certificate. We fill that thing out and we turn it into the courthouse. And when we do that, as far as the state's considered, you are legally married. That's a position. And that's your position right now. You know, whenever you check that box, married or single. And if you filled out that paper, married. Now, the positional part of it is taken care of, but now the temporal part, and that's where you and I live. You may be legally married, but you may not be living like you married. You know what I'm saying? And there's some people do that. A lot of men get married sometimes and they're never home. They still go out with their friends every night. You know? And so if they ask their wife to fill out that paper, she might check single. Because that's how she feels. Because her husband hasn't been around. He hasn't. He's legally married, but he's not acting like a married person. And see, that's what it's like with our righteousness. Legally, when we come to Christ, we're given righteousness. It's put into our account. But then we may not walk in it. And that's where it takes faith and allowing God to come into our life to make changes and bring correction. Because, you know, the idea is, you know, we have to look and see, because positional righteousness is one is what the Word says and the other is what we see in the mirror. See, I know what God's Word says about me, but then I look in the mirror and I'm not quite there yet. So I could stand there and beat myself up, or I could say, God, change me. I know this is what you say about me. You know, you say, you know, that I need to speak words of life. You say I need to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flesh. And you can check those out. There's a difference between the two. And ask God to help you, and He will. If we pray with a sincere heart, things are going to start to change. Because, you know, but it's the idea of us getting into the flow of what God wants to do. See, the Bible said there up in Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17, it talked about, Paul was saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And sometimes why we're ashamed of the gospel is because we still feel shame in our life. We still feel ashamed. But we need to turn that around. See, if we don't believe the word changed us, how can we ever believe the word will ever change anybody else? You know what I'm saying? It can happen. Let's look at this from a different way. I want to see us that how it's instantaneous salvation. Now, I know there might be some denominations or people that believe, you know, in the idea that you can't become a Christian in the twinkling of an eye. You know, it's just got to be something that you kind of grow into. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches the salvation of your soul. Now, that's a different story. That's when you start to renew your mind. But as far as your spirit, where a spirit have a soul, live in a body, and God wants to sanctify a spirit, soul, and body. So when you get saved, when you get born again, boom, just like that, you're saved. You're as saved as you're going to get, just like you're as married as you're going to get when you say, I do, and that paper's signed. That's how we got to see ourselves. We are saved. Amen. I've made that decision. I'm following Christ now. I've been born again. And see, what happens then is that we need to start to develop a whole new way of looking at things. See, it's like talking about married. You know, if I come up to you and you are married, and I say, hey, are you married? And you might say, I think so. What? Either you're married or you're not, right? Well, have you ever thought maybe you're sort of saved? I did when I first started. I wasn't sure. I mean, I knew I had been changed, but then there's always some doubts that come in. And, you know, are you saved? Well, kind of. No. Either you're saved or you're not. That's just the way it is. Amen. Are you saved or you're not? And that's how we have to understand to see, you know, where it is, you know, in our walk with God. But see, if our salvation is only mental assent, then that is the reason, you know, we only feel kind of saved. That's why we've got to make sure it's revelation knowledge. You know, we need to surrender our heart to God if we're ever going to experience the depth of a relationship with Him. You know, I read an illustration the other day from one of the old preachers in the early 1900s, and, you know, I just loved reading his sermon. It was really a powerful sermon, and it's just basic. But, you know, one of the illustrations that he gave, and I want to say it was Tory, but I can't remember exactly, but he said, Noah and the ark, he used that as an example. Now, Noah built that ark. When he was out of the ark, he wasn't saved. But as soon as he went into the ark, he was saved because the water couldn't get to him. And see, that's how we need to see our Christianity. When we're in Christ, we're saved. Now, if we're not in Christ and we're not saved, then that needs to be fixed. Easy fix. Amen. Surrender your life, repent, you know, and give your life to God. And see, it's just as simple as that. But see, we have to have this firm foundation that we understand the idea of instantaneous, okay? And that's the positional side. That's the legal side. If you do not get this, you won't get the other. And for whatever reason, for me, I bought into this quick. I don't know why, but to me it just went like that. Once I was able to see what the Word of God said about me, I was changed. I started to look at myself different. And I started to look at other people different. You know? And it's just as easy as that. Because, you know, when we're in Jesus, we're saved, and we will never have to earn what God has freely given us. We'll never have to earn it. It's been given for free. The last thing I want to look at here just for a moment is the idea of living by faith again. The Word of God must have that final authority in our life, and I can't, you know, speak this over and over enough, because there comes a time, and I'll be honest, the way this works is it comes by association to some degree. You have to associate with other Christians who are speaking truth and life. You know, I can, you know, give you a little bit in a 30, 35 minutes or 40-minute sermon. You know, and that'll help a lot because I trust the power of the Holy Ghost. But I tell you what, we got to get into the Word every day. We need to come. If church has another function, you need to come to that. Start rubbing elbows with other people. That's how I learned. You know, I started hanging around with some real radical Christians. That's who God brought into my life, and these guys were sold out. I mean, they were in it to win it. And, you know, I didn't find out later that not everybody was like that. There was some people that aren't in it to win it. They're just in it. You know, if they win or lose, it doesn't matter. They're just going to hold out. But I was around some people that just really were into God's Word, and they started to trust it, and I got experienced with that, and it really helped. And see, that's what we need to do, because that's how we do it. We got to keep putting the Word in, because God's Word has to have the final say over feelings. And you know the big test of this? Is when you don't feel like it's true. Everything's all hunky-dory when things are good, right? Praise God. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory. You just go around the house. Praise God. Praise God. Well, then you get a flat tire. Or the car won't start. Or something else goes wrong. Are you still saying, praise God, my God supplies all my needs? Or you're saying, oh, whoa, whoa, pitiful me. See? Is your feelings going to dominate how you react to the situation? Practical? Something you can do? You can try this at home? Amen? This is something that we do at home. See, we feel inferior, but God's Word says we're superior. Who are we going to believe? There comes to that point in your life. And feeling superior doesn't mean you're better than other people, but the Bible says that God has called us to rule and reign with Him. He's called us to be a kingdom of priests. He's called us to be able to walk in the authority, and we're going to, like I said, we're going to reign with Him. We're going to experience our life totally with Him. And He's brought us up to Him. And we need to see that. That's who I am. That's who I am. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God. For He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. See, God has clothed us with garments of salvation, and He's put on us a robe of righteousness, just like our wedding day. Most people get all gussied up on their wedding day, and, you know, I'll be honest, sometimes when we get married, it don't even look like us anymore, does it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're all fixed up. Back when I had hair, it was combed a little different, maybe, a bride goes in there, and they have some cosmetologist come in, and they're working them over everything, and just like a glamour shot. I mean, that's not how we usually look. See, when we come to Christ, he puts that on us. And as far as God's concerned, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. For you guys, you're handsome, amen? Whatever it takes. But, you know, He puts that robe of righteousness. Have you ever had a robe? I don't usually use robes anymore. But I had a robe when I was a kid. I remember that robe I just put on. And see, that's what happens when we're saved. Instantaneous. You don't wait for it. You don't have to work your way into it and become better. You don't get that robe when you come better. You get that robe so that you can walk better. It's that robe of righteousness. It's wrapped around you. It's like a shield. And it's that righteousness of God. It's nothing that we've done. It's only by faith. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. Just like you believe, you're instantly saved. You're going to heaven. What about now? Are we wanting to walk in authority? I mean, why would people want to join our movement, man, if we don't have nothing? But God has given us everything. We can walk in His righteousness and be able to walk in His power. And as we do that, it's because Jesus made us clean. Now, I've done some filthy jobs in my day, some sweaty jobs, being raised as a farm, on the farm, and, you know, go out and working things over and doing things. And I remember, you know, my clothes just being like, you take them off and they just almost just set in the pile. I mean, just gross. Then I go in and I take a shower. I'm cleaned. Oh, I feel good. I love getting all that dust and dirt and cow or pig manure or whatever's all over you. You just get it washed off. Well, then what would happen if you went out and put them old sweaty? Have you done that before? I have. I don't know why I did that. Maybe I didn't have access to anything else, but then you put them dirty clothes on again. They're all sweaty and yucky. Oh man, everything you've gained just went away, didn't it? It went away. And see, that's what self-righteousness is. See, our righteousness, remember, is filthy rags and how we need to overcome it. And the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives us never comes off. We need to see that. We need to see that in our walk with Him. And that's why we need that revelation of righteousness. You know, when we need to walk proud, not proud in ourselves, but proud in what Jesus Christ has done for us and where He's brought us into. And like I said, another definition of righteousness is right wiseness. Instead of having a sin conscience, why not have a righteous conscience? It's not being boastful. It's not bragging. But it's about you know inside what Jesus has done for you, what He's put you, where He's placed you, into His family. And that, you know, we never have to bow our knee to anyone again. Anything. No sin. Nothing can drag us down because of the greater one that lives inside of us. And He's given us a robe of righteousness. We may go into this next week a little bit, but it's about praise and worship. But, you know, I remember in Chronicles where they was going to have a battle. And for whatever reason, they was going against this big army that was bigger than them. And God said, hey, put the singers out front. You know, we talked about this, I think, in the freedom class the other night. And, you know, how would you like to be in the choir that day? You know what I'm saying? You know, God says, hey, you choir members up front, you know, the guys with the swords and the arrows, you stay back here. Because there's power. And it talks about a robe and the righteousness that we have and the power that's in praise and worship and how we need to see ourselves that way. God wants you to walk and rule and reign with Him. And if we ever want to have a revolution of righteousness in our country, the church needs to get a revelation of righteousness. And that's what we need to do. There's more out there, people, for us. We just got to receive it by faith and be able to walk in that. Amen? Let's pray.